It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
So great to be with you, my friends. Each week, we're continuing our series, You Can Be a Soul Winner by Witnessing to the Lost, and we're particularly going to be dealing with skeptics, cynics, those who scorn the Word of God. Well, we've got some good news for those people to show them that we love them and they need to turn from their ways. But before we do, I want to mention two things to you. First of all, I want to thank those of you who continue to pray for Bible Home Church and Pastor Tex Mars, our staff. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to know that there are Bible-believing Christians praying for me throughout the United States, and I don't believe I'd be alive today were it not for the prayers of the saints. I want to thank you for your love gifts, your tithes and your offerings to Bible Home Church. And God knows that we need your help to keep this broadcast going around the world. I wish I could show you just a little bit of the mail that we get in. Sometimes I'd like to take a whole program, just read some of the heart-rending letters that we get. And many people write to us and thank us. They've come to know Christ through this ministry. Miracles are done in their life, especially through salvation of loved ones. And I just want you to know, my friends, that you make it possible with your love gifts, your tithes, your offerings to Bible Home Church. And you are indeed building up treasures in heaven. And I want to thank you for that. And God, He keeps track. I'm telling you, He does. Now, I know once He forgives your sins, He casts them away into that sea of forgetfulness. But your good works, let me tell you, there are crowns that people are going to get as rewards in heaven. And believe me, I just praise God. And I know I'm asking Jesus right now to just bring down into your life bountiful blessings. So many you can't even handle them. Isn't that the way you want it, my friends? Wouldn't you like to lead a life where you can't even handle all the blessings? You wake up in the morning, you say, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I'm blessed so much. That happens to me quite a bit. It does. I wake up, I look at Wanda, and I smile, and I say, can you believe, Wanda, we're so blessed? She says, yes, we are. Well, that's hard to do sometimes. You wake up, and your back's hurting, or you got a headache, or you feel like you're still asleep. Some people that are hard sleepers. But let me tell you, my friends, just imagine and think about the things that God has planned for you that day. Get out of that bed and get dressed and get going, because God got something wonderful for you every day. Well, before we start, of course, we've got some wonderful music. You know, when I'm in Bible Home Church and I'm preaching, I sort of feel this way. I feel the Lord's presence there with us. I feel, my friends, right now on the radio today, the presence of the Lord. He is with us. As you listen to Bible Home Church, as you've even listened to this song, you can know that the very presence of the God that made this universe is in this place. That means in your home, in your office, in your automobile, wherever you're at listening to this message, the presence of the Lord truly is there with you. This is my good friend, Johnny Ray Watson. He's got a voice like an angel. He sings the theme song, It's Beginning to Rain, to Bible Home Church. And here he is to sing, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place. And I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. In the midst of his children, the Lord said he would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt of times before. Surely I can say I have been with the Lord, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I touch the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face, and my heart is overflowing at the fullness of His joy. And I know without a doubt I have been with my Lord, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace, and I can feel the brush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Well, thank you, Johnny Ray Watson, for that beautiful, beautiful song. It just touches your spirit when Johnny Ray sings that great song. I believe that's truly inspired by God. You see, I believe God's angels help us to write and help us to preach. I really believe they do. And of course, God's angels guard over us at all times. You know, we're dealing with skeptics. You meet them a lot. In fact, most of the people in the world today are skeptical. They're skeptical because they refuse to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They're skeptical because they've heard on television and through the media and in their schools that they should be tolerant and believe in all faiths and not just exclusively Christianity alone. But the fact is God is a jealous God, and he'll have no other gods before Him. What do you say to the person that says, I want to believe in Christ Jesus only, but I just can't? I mean, I just haven't been taught that away. Well, John 7, Verse 17 has one answer. It reads, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." You see, many people were saying to Jesus, the Jews of his day, "I don't believe you're really the Son of God. I don't believe what you're telling us." We see Jesus had a certain doctrine. But some folks say today that doctrine is divisive. Don't preach doctrine. Just show your love through your example. That will be sufficient. But Jesus said he had a certain doctrine. Oh, doctrine is important. And Jesus said, if any man will do the will of God, he will know of this doctrine. Listening to a man on the Marlon Maddox radio show, Marlon's a good friend of mine, and this man was a best-selling so-called Christian author. And Marlon began to talk to him. They were on some other subject. I think the man's book that he was being interviewed for wasn't even about abortion. But Marlon Maddox gave a little bit of news on the pro-life viewpoint. And then he turned to this author there on the radio and he said, "Isn't this what you believe too?" You know, and it was, of course, very pro-life. And the guy said, "You know, I'm still debating those kinds of issues. I'm still debating those kinds of issues." Here he was supposedly a Christian author being invited to come on Marlon Maddox's show. Well, praise God tomorrow for Marlon Maddox. He just lit into the guy. He said, "You mean to tell me you're on this show talking?" I think the man was supposedly exposing the New Age movement. He said, "You're exposing the New Age movement, supposedly, and you're not even sure whether killing little babies is against God's will? Well, you got some problems, friend." And Marlon Maddox just was righteously indignant. And the guy began to stammer and stutter. You know, he was so frightened. You know, he'd probably said that kind of thing before, you know, and it got him off the hook. When you're around a true Christian, my friend, you better not try to beat around the bush. "Oh, I'm not sure of that. Are Hindus going to go to heaven?" "Well, you know, I really can't judge. I really don't know for sure. I have to leave that to God." Well, of course you have to leave it to God. And he says in his word exactly who's going to get to heaven and who isn't. That's how you know. Don't try to divert and go around the bush. And if you're still debating the issue of who's going to go to heaven and who isn't, then I can tell you right now, you're not going to heaven. If you don't know that you have to believe in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, if you're not sure of that, then I'm telling you right now, then God's not sure of you. Well, he is sure of you. I've just misspoken. He's sure you're not saved. He knows you're not saved. And you can't fool God. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. What is the doctrine? It is that Jesus came once and for all time and died on the cross for our sins, made a pathway for you and for me. Believe in him and you will never die. Reject him and you will perish in your sins. If you don't understand that, now let me tell you why. Here's a skeptic saying, "I don't understand that. I don't understand why I have to believe in Jesus. And I've got a PhD education. And I can understand things, but I can't understand that." Well, let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Mr. Skeptic. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Some years ago, somebody wanted to invite me to a debate on New Age and education. I said, "I'll go there." They said, "We want you to debate these people, these heathen that believe it's okay to have New Age supernatural things in the public school systems." I said, "Well, I will go there, but nothing will convince those people of what I'm going to say." They said, "Well, really? Why do you say that, Brother Tex?" I said, "Because they're heathen, you said. They're natural men. The Spirit of God is not in them. And they will not receive the things of the Spirit of God because to them that's foolishness." Had another friend, he led a movement here in Austin, Texas, Citizens Against Pornography. you would see him waving signs, and he had a whole group of 40 or 50 people down there, said, honk if you're against pornography, and he'd demonstrate in front of adult bookstores, so-called, where they sold pornography. He did a lot of good, actually. I sort of liked what he was doing. I didn't object to it at all. I commended him for his good works. He said to me, Brother Tex, I'm going to go down to the city council this next week, and I'm going to tell them about the horrible things that are going on in some of these so-called adult theaters where they have, I don't know, peep shows or something like that. You know, guys, I don't even know what he was talking about. I've never been into one of those places, but I could sort of imagine the utter evil in that. And he said, you know, that's unsanitary. The things that the men are doing in there, homosexuals and all that in those arcades. And I said, well, what are you going to tell the city council? He said, I'm going to talk to him about sanitation. I think they ought to clean those places up and close them down because it's a sanitation hazard. I said, well, how about it being against the word of God? He said, oh, those city council won't listen to that. So I go down there and tell them it's a sanitation hazard. Close them up. Well, you know what my advice to him was? Go down there and tell them it's against the word of God. You just tell them that that violates the word of God. It's an abomination to the city of Austin, Texas. And here's what the word of God said. He said, well, I've already done that so many times. They hate me and they despise me down there. I said, so what? Go do it another 1,001 times. You see, my friends, it's not our job to change the world. You think that it is, but it's not. It's our job to preach to the world, to make them good and mad and angry at us if need be. He was going along the wrong line there. He was preaching them to them sanitation. Hey, I'm not a sanitation worker. I'm sorry if people are doing unhealthy things. That's not why I preach against homosexuality. Of course they do despicable, unhealthy things that give them AIDS virus and everything else. That's not why I preach against homosexuality. I preach against homosexuality because it's a sin. And because a person cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But the natural man, that means the person who is born into this world of the flesh, but has never accepted Jesus, it says there in 1 Corinthians, he will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they were spiritually discerned. Now here's what Marlon Maddox was getting at. I was telling you his story a little while ago. If this man who pretended to be a Christian truly were a Christian, he would receive the things of the Spirit of God and know them. I've told you before in the past about a man who was a Mason, and he came to know Jesus, and he walked the aisles and truly gave his heart to Christ, walked out into the parking lot. A Mason, a deacon, came up to him and says, now we're twice brothers, meaning now we're a brother in Christ as well as a brother Mason. He said, no, I'm not. I'm going to leave the lodge. I'm not staying in the lodge. A Christian can't stay in the lodge. Well, the Mason who was a deacon walked away angry. The Mason who was a Christian came to see me, the new Christian, and said, I don't even know why I told him that. I don't even know anything bad about Masons. I've been a Mason all my life. Why would I say such a thing? I just felt led by the Holy Ghost to say that. I said, well, of course you did. You're a Christian now. The natural man didn't receive that. Until you became a Christian and were born again and had the Spirit of God in you, you didn't know there was anything wrong with Masonry. You'd have probably fought me all night long. You'd have probably said, oh, the Masons are good, they're this, they're that, oh, why we even have a Bible on our altar and in our lodges and our temple. Oh, Tex Mars, you're wrong about Masons. You just fight me all day long, bitter dispute, hating me for what I'm talking about when I expose Freemasonry. But once you come to know Jesus, suddenly it all comes to you all at once. It's sort of like going on the internet and having all the knowledge in the universe suddenly in your head, coming straight to you right there on the screen. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. My friends, he does have all of the knowledge of the universe. You get a lot smarter when you become a Christian because you receive the things of the Spirit of God. The rest of the world says, that's foolishness. I know why they're saying that. Of course it's foolishness to them. It was foolishness to Nero, to Caligula, to all of the emperors of Rome, practically. It was foolishness to many of the popes who received not the Spirit of God. But once you trust Jesus, I'm telling you, my friends, Wow. You become a wise person. You will understand things. John 8, verse 47 says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." The Jews said, this Jesus, he's of Beelzebub. They were probably sincere in their thoughts of that, and their lies about Jesus, because they couldn't understand. And you know, my friends, because they don't understand, they will actually hate you. Jesus said they'll even kill you and think that they do God's service. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." John 3, verses 17 and 21. You see there, my friends, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. You are of the light of God. And Jesus said you can't hide the light of God. It's like a shining light on a hill. Everyone's going to see it. I always praise God when I go on trips and it's the deepest, darkest time of night, and there Wanda and I are all alone in our car and we're driving down the road. It couldn't be in Ohio or West Virginia, Mississippi, Texas. And, you know, here you're driving, you don't even know that there are hills. You don't even know that there are mountains in a certain place. It's so dark, pitch dark at night. You can just barely see the road and the yellow stripe on the center there of the highway on the asphalt or the concrete. And then suddenly you look up and you know something? There's a big cross all lit up at night. That's happened to me. I go, "Wow, look at that cross way up there." And I realize there's a hill or a mountain or something. And someone who lives up there or maybe owns that piece of land has put a lit cross at night. Well, you know, that's like a Christian's life, my friend. You have the light within you, and you know what? You can't hide it from the world. In Jesus, there is no darkness at all, the Bible tells us, that believing ye might have life through his name. That's John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. "Well, I don't believe there's a God," the skeptic says. "Prove to me there's a God." Oh, I like that. "Prove to me there's a God." You know, "I can't prove to you you're alive, brother." He said, "Well, look, I'm moving, I'm doing..." Oh, that doesn't mean robots move. Amusement park rides move. "Well, I'm thinking. I think, therefore I am," said the great philosopher. "Oh, really? Well, I can make artificial intelligence software that thinks." I have a book in my library with the title, "Are Robots Alive?" The guy says, "Well, it depends on how intelligent they are. They can be alive. And maybe we're going to have to increase all of our laws against discrimination, because robots should not be discriminated against. They're living beings." Could be. I don't know. Do they have a soul? That's up to God. If they have a soul, well, someday you and I might be preaching to robots. I leave that into God's hand. I think Jesus is going to come before we're preaching to robots. There might be a robot preacher someday. I don't know. Be pretty fascinating, wouldn't it? You say, "Well, now, Jesus didn't come die on the cross to save robots." No, that's true. He didn't. But he might extend his salvation to robots. Listen, I'm not going to put Jesus in a box. He is everything the Bible says he is. He's everything he wants to be, but he will never violate what he said in the Bible. But how can we know that he even exists? Well, Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Now, Wanda, she does this stitching stuff. I don't know whether they call it needlepoint or what, and I'm showing my ignorance here. But she shows it to me sometimes, says, "What do you think of this?" And she'll have a little piece of cloth, and it has the most beautiful embroidery on it. You know, I'm over there reading and such, and she's over there, her little two little hands just moving on something. I don't even know how she does it. I suppose I'd have 50 different needle pricks in my fingers just trying something that delicate and that intricate and complicated. But Wanda makes these little things, and then she makes little throw pillows and things, and she gives them away, you know. That's her handiwork. And it's pretty powerful. Well, God has made the heavens and the firmament, and on a nice clear night, you look up, and there, it's not God, but it declares the glory of God. And we get finally to Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Wow. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If a person says there is no God, say, you know, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. There is no God. He says, it is. That's right. And it's preceded by this line, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. Well, this is Pastor Tex Mars. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. Please write to us with your comments. Until next week, my friends, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.